I can only agree with them wholeheartedly. You know, having worked as a chef for most of my time in the hospitality industry, I can definitely attest to the fact that you're asking ordinary people on very ordinary, you know, subpar wages to do extraordinary acts day in, day out. I know from my own time as a chef, multiple times we'd be asked to pull 55, 60, 70-hour weeks, week on week, during certain summer seasons, especially in 2019 when we had the Gulf coming to La Hinch. The entire county was chock-a-block then. And even throughout the last, you know, few lockdowns from the first one, it was getting harder and harder and harder to go back to work. It was getting harder and harder to go back into these kitchens and to go back into the hospitality sector, because the conditions were only actively getting worse. The kind of the exploitation of people in certain sectors was only getting worse because of this kind of lack of staff that they were experiencing. More was being put on fewer. And I know myself that I'm no longer working as a chef. I'm actually quite happy working as a waiter now in a very fair and in a very nice place where I can actually, you know, work the hours that I need to work and not feel this constant pressure, this constant push towards working harder and longer just for the sake of covering for somebody who wasn't able to make it in or couldn't be hired.
Fionn, 65, 70-hour weeks. I mean, you must be absolutely mentally and physically shattered by the end of the week and nearly crying at the prospect of Monday coming around again.
Yeah. It really does feel like that, because when, you know, the first week you do it, you're almost running on adrenaline. You know, you're running on the fat reserve, so to speak. You're kind of, you know, you're getting into it. It's almost like a workout. Come the second week, come the third week, you know, the height of July, August, it wears down on you. And it's not just the physical side of it. Your batteries are worn down socially. You know, like, you may want to meet with friends. You may want to go out. You may want to see people, your family, your partner, anybody. But you're not really going to be able to do that if you need to get, you know, your 6 or 7 hours sleep before you're back in the next day. And it's not great if you're recovering from any form of addiction. Being in the hospitality sector, it's not conducive to recovery, because you will be surrounded by drink. You will be surrounded by drugs. And I know a lot of people in the sector are relying on drinking drugs just to get through the week or the shift or the month, or to get out to the end of the season until they can either go back to college or if there's a less stressful job. But there is an absolute crisis. And like you said, it is shattering on you, but it's shattering not only on your body, but on your mental health as well. And, you know, you can go to a doctor and get a broken arm fixed, or to, you know, get your finger sewn back on if you accidentally chop it off. But at present, there just isn't the support for people there who are at their mental breaking point after years of degradation and after years of an unhealthy industry standard.
And just, you mentioned that some workers are relying on drink and drugs to get through the season. But I mean, after a couple of months of that, that's going to have some sort of long-term negative effects on you.
Well, you know, I wouldn't purport to be, you know, a doctor or be able to attest to the actual physical or even the mental extremities experience. But I know from my own experience that a habit that you form, it will wear down on you. But it can be a terrible thing. It is a terrible sickness, being addicted to something, because it will take you to places that you didn't think that you could go. And you might think that after a couple of months it would wear you out, but there are some people who are a couple of years, maybe even a decade, into their addictions. And I'm not saying that the foot of to lay the blame at the foot of the entire hospitality sector, but there's no smoke without fire, as my grandfather used to say. And when you're looking at a lot of people using substances that they otherwise may not have, or being put into situations where they feel that, you know, you have to perform, you have to keep going, they're always going to look for an escape, and they're always going to look for something that will provide them with that kind of temporary relief. And I think that, you know, it's the issue of addiction within young people in our country, it's certainly not helped by the extreme hours being put on them and the huge burden of the hospitality industry being put onto, you know, 19, 20-year-olds. Even when I was 19, I was asked to manage a kitchen for a month, having started on wash-up 9 months previously. So, you know, you can see that there's certainly a massive gap here, where a lot of the older people are leaving and a lot of the younger people are left with an extraordinary amount of responsibility.
Well, and Eivín, I think Fionn's given us a really great sense of how he's seen things going on within the industry. Would you agree with the ICTU's claims at the Oireachtas Committee? And I mean, are you aware of workers in the hospitality sector that are taken advantage of. Or like Fionn says, 9 months after washing dishes, he's in charge of a kitchen at the age of 19 or 20, that there's an over-expectation perhaps of people within the hospitality industry.
Yeah, of course. I think it comes down to every business on their own, though. From my own personal experience, I just got very lucky. I went into a job quite young and everyone in the hotel was so fantastic and we have good management. But we often, like, I think the staff are very outspoken there, and if there was something going on, it wouldn't be tolerated. But we often have the scenario now where there's such a demand that there isn't the staff there to reach it. So rather than having someone working a 65, 70-hour week, we have to shut down an outlet of the hotel, or we have to do something. If we can, it's all about customer service at the end. If your staff are all run down and they can't have a proper conversation with a customer, not to mind their own family, that just isn't good enough. So we have to kind of work around it. Maybe it's to the disadvantage of the business, but at the end of the day, I think we got very lucky that we had that conversation at the start of the season where people were saying that they wouldn't put up with it. I think those conversations kind of have to be had more across the country.
Fionn, what do you think are the reasons for the staffing crisis in hospitality? And it is an issue we've chatted about before on the programme, and some businesses within hospitality perhaps aren't in a position, or will say they're in a position where they're not able to pay perhaps what the workers would expect because we're coming out of the pandemic and they haven't been able to make as much money as they normally would have during those particular years. Can you pinpoint other reasons, though, why there is a staffing crisis within the sector?
Well, I think, Alan, there is a multifaceted approach to why there is such a, you know, a horrendous crisis at the moment. I think it's a perfect storm, to be honest, because it's not just one thing or the other. It's a combination of things. Like, if you look at the working conditions that we've talked about, you know, sometimes the 50, 60, 70-hour weeks that young people are expected to work, you know, week in, week out, but also the fact that it's not just the working conditions of, you know, the amount of time that you're in there. It's the working conditions of actually being in the hospitality service. It's a very demanding and it's a very complex job. And, you know, I reject a lot of the time the label of unskilled labour. I think it takes a tremendous amount of skill to be able to, you know, to manage or supervise a wedding, or to create a meal from scratch, or even to, you know, to be able to seat somebody and give them service well enough that they feel that they can tip. It is very demanding. And, you know, I've known in my time as a chef that it's very taxing, it's very stressful, it's very intense to ask this of people. And people don't want to go back to a job where they're not treated as well as they feel they should be. I know a lot of people who've gone from hospitality to retail, and they may not be getting as much money, but they're certainly much happier because there's nobody shouting at them. There's no extreme pressure. There's no one mistake and there's a bad review, and the bad review will lead to 10 more bad reviews. This kind of intense pressure put on people to constantly maintain the facade of the perfect service, the perfect tourism area, the perfect this, the perfect that. People aren't willing to put up with that anymore. People aren't really willing to go back into a job where you have to work 70 hours if you want to keep the job. And they're perfectly willing to work less if it means that they can do more, you know, spend time with the family. And one other critical issue that which I will say that is driving people away from hospitality is, you know, time management. We've all seen from the pandemic, life is incredibly short. At any given time, there could be an entire paradigm shift within our society. So people will reevaluate, do I want to be working 50 hours stuck behind a grill, or, you know, doing this or doing that? Or will I take a lesser paid job with similar hours where I can spend time with my friends and family and actually do the things that I like?
Yeah, and Eivind, I mean, what needs to be done to address the staffing crisis in the sector? No doubt there's a number of things that need to be done, but what do you feel are some of the most important changes that need to be made to try and stem the tide of people, or the shortage of people within that particular industry?
I think Fionn's like absolutely correct with the whole social thing. You spend 60 hours a week talking to people and then you come home and you just can't even like form a sentence because you're totally socially exhausted. I don't really know what the right answer is. I know for ourselves it was kind of closing down outlets, making sure that we weren't as available to the public, just to kind of balance out the staff. But I think there's a big move now to move people down to a 4-day week. People got a taste during the pandemic of what it's like to actually enjoy your life and have time to spend with your family and your friends. I think in the future we're going to see a lot of people thinking that the normal thing to do is just work 4 days and then get 3 proper days off. I know for myself, I finish work at 4 o'clock in the morning. So there is no like day off the day after working a 4 o'clock in the morning shift. You just go straight to sleep and you sleep until like 8 o'clock the next day, possibly. So I think that could be a really good improvement. If we see people working less, we'll have more people to work, I think.
What are the big changes you would like to see, Fionn? Is it, like Eivind's touched on there, the hours, and you've touched on as well, is it the pay or?
Yeah, I think that it's like I completely agree with what Eivind was saying. It's a very important thing, like in terms of like the hours. But the pay is a huge factor, because a lot of the reason why people are working so many hours is if you're only making, say, 10-50 an hour, you will have to work longer, especially now that the euro just isn't going as far as it used to. I know that the implementation of a living wage, I think, which we talked about before in the program, is really the only viable way forward. And if there are growing pains and if businesses are feeling the kind of the strain of having to pay that, then the obligation then is on government to make sure that, you know, either through targeted tax breaks or through social transfers, that young people are supported in their job. And the 4-day work week is one thing out of you know, a list of things that we can do to help support hospitality sector workers, you know, such as you know, better paying conditions, you know, a greater guarantee of holiday time, or, you know, even codifying you know, a certain industry standard so people aren't left in an exploitative situation, and especially to end the disparity in pay between young people. Because I know people who are 18 years old and who are getting paid less by virtue of the fact that they're a year younger than somebody who is 19 when they're doing the exact same quality of work. And it's the same as if you're paying a 16-year-old lower than minimum wage. You're telling somebody that they're worth less because they're not as old. And that fosters huge discrepancies within the industry and will definitely foster resentment between older workers and younger workers. So I think there needs to be one pay set for all people, because all work is equal at the end of the day. If you're busting your hump over a fryer, that's the exact same thing as somebody, you know, pushing to get that spreadsheet in at the office. And regardless of your age, you should be paid the same. And I think these are some of the little things that can foster a greater sense of solidarity between government and the worker and between workers. Because if nobody's, you know, working well together, then how can the industry hope to get over these growing pains as they are?
Yeah, just to finish with yourself, Eivind, I mean, Fionn's touching on the issues there with pay. Do you think the biggest problems within the sector are to do with pay, or is it the conditions?
I think it is probably pay when it comes down to keeping staff anyway. I know we had like a lot of experience with, we'd have a certain amount of pay that we were giving people, but it was an all year round job. And then you have the seasonal job down the road that's giving about €4 more an hour, but they're only open for 3 months. You're not going to be able to keep staff if you have competition like that. It's not kind of regularized across different different hotels and different restaurants. So that's something we could really do with things. But for me and myself, it would definitely be less hours and then a bit more pay. But I think pay is a lot better than it was if you look this time 2 years ago. I think on average, people are up about €2, if not €1.